today I stand in a place where there's so much going on with us. From about 7 o'clock in the morning, I was receiving texts from people telling me that they were sick. They were headed to the ER. Some people was gonna go to their doctors tomorrow. They just can't be out. There's a lot of, viral infections going through the city right now. And a lot of people hit. In fact, let's pray for Pastor Larissa. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we speak victory over her throat. We speak victory over her vocal cords. We know that the enemy has lodged an attack against her vocal cords, God, and we decree and declare her healed in your name. We decree and declare that taken care of quickly. And we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are under attack. And we have been under attack for some time now. The thing about a blood-bought believer in attack that's under attack is we don't change. We don't change when the prevailing thought processes begin to happen. We don't change when people break camp and go other places and do other things. The blood-bought righteous believer stays the same, stays the course, face fixed like flint. Amen. And so it's in times like this that when I first began preaching, I used to call these the playoffs. Yeah, these are the playoffs. This is where it all counts. This is what we've been training for. This is what we've been discipled for. And the problem is, in times like this, if you have not received and applied the word of God to your life, these times can be trying. They can be far more trying than what we'd care to admit. Thank you, baby. So I've got a word for you today. We're going to let the kids take some food home. Amen. We're not going to have children's church today. We're going to let the kids take the food home. But I've got a word today called, entitled, "He's Got Us, Just Trust Him." He's got us, just trust him. And I pray for your prayers, because I was all right about 15 minutes ago, and all of a sudden, some type of warfare has come up. So every now and then I might have to stop to do that. If we look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Before I go any further, all of our trustees, I need y'all in my office as soon as church is over. All of the trustees, I need you in the office as soon as church is over. I neglected to send you a text last night. So just know that all the trustees, I need you in my office as soon as service is over. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. And in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." We stand today on the brink of the end of the year, coming up on a new year, and we can already see the road ahead. We can't see far, and without God's wisdom, we will not see with understanding. At best, we expect to experience beyond our present limited horizon, some complex and confusing turns in the road that will test our highest knowledge as well as our deepest commitment. There will be hills to climb and bumpy sections to cross, and how we will do, we don't know. Do we have any assurance that we can safely and successfully make it? Our text says we can make it, and victoriously, if we will trust God's guidance. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is an excellent watchword for the rest of this year and the year to come. A battle cry for the testing of times, and a comfort and strength for our uncertainty. It is a sufficient substitute for a roadmap, even though our eyes cannot discern the turns and the stops and the difficulties or the pleasures ahead. What is it that this text says to us? One thing that it says is that God can guide us in our everyday living. God can guide us in our everyday living, in every decision, every action, in every development of our lives. God will direct our paths. The analogy of a road builder and a maintenance chief are suggested in the word direct. These assure that we travel, these two things assure that we travel to a desired destination as the road is built and maintained. The Hebrew language contains several words for road or path, including words that refer to a highway or a way or a narrow path, a broad path, a trodden path, and a customary path or road. The word in Proverbs 3, verse number 6, is the customary or the usual path or road. God relates to us as a road builder and maintenance chief in the customary or the day-to-day travels of our lives. God cuts the road straight and keeps it useful. That is what is meant by the promise of he shall direct thy paths. Lord, have mercy. And the beautiful thing about God directing our paths is we don't have to be concerned about which way to go. All we have to do is follow the leading of the precious Holy Spirit. He cuts the road straight and keeps it useful. And he says, he promises that he will direct our paths, and we can get where we ought to be because God is available to prepare the way. He is an active God in all of our affairs. We may not see the road builder and the maintenance chief during every mile traveled, but we do not move an inch without their help. This analogy does not say enough about this situation. However, let me break this thing down and be crisp. So if I am walking on the road that God is directing for my path, if this is the path that I am going, this is the direction that I'm taking, I can only walk what he's cut out for me. When I get to the point to where there is no more road, I instinctively know this is where I stop. This is where I yield. This is where I fall back. Watch this. I don't lean to my own understanding and say, well, since there's no more road, I guess I'll go right. I know we was taught that when in doubt, always go right. But when in doubt, going right without God telling you to go right could be absolutely wrong. So until I see road that has been cut out for my path, I'm right here. And that's the problem with a lot of us in the 21st century westernized church. We can't stand still. Always got to be doing something. Always got to be going somewhere. Always got to be on the road. And we have mistakenly came to the conclusion that if we're not moving, then we're not in God. Can I go ahead and tell you that there's been many times in the Bible where God simply stood still? I want you to understand the importance of the road builder and the master chief, because the road builder, of course, he builds the road, and you can't walk without the road. Lord, have mercy. And the master chief, he is basically in a position of where he's over everything. He's over every decision. He's over all of the equipment. He's over every stage of what's going on. You understand what I'm saying to you? And even though, Lord, I used to work in construction for a good month and a half. Praise God, I still got a back, and laugh if you want to. But I tell you, what happened was my foreman, I didn't always see him, Lord have mercy, but he left directions. Lord, have mercy. Ooh. Tell me pastors don't work. I need you to understand that God goes with us. The God who can guide us does, in fact, become, here's that word, personally involved with us in every inch, on every inch of our journey. He promises in Psalms 32, verse number 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou you should go, and I will guide thee with my eye. Lord, have mercy. In Psalms 48 and 14, it says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be a guide even unto death. Isaiah 58 and 11 said, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Even we found Jesus saying in John 16 and 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Not most of the truth, not some of the truth, not 99% of the truth, but the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. The second thing that we need to understand is that God can guide us, but there are some conditions that determines his guidance. There are some conditions concerning his guidance. And one of the first things we have to do is acknowledge him. That's what the scripture says. First, in all of our ways, we acknowledge him. Now, let me go ahead and bless you with why important that is, why that's so important. Because if you are going to acknowledge God in all of your ways, probably 50% of your ways you wouldn't be doing. In other words, in all your ways, you're supposed to say something like, so I'm getting ready to jump off into this. God, are you in this? I'm feeling him. I'm getting ready to get into this relationship. Are you, God, are you with this? You know, and I believe that, watch this, it's a lack of faith in God when we operate in relationship without acknowledging God. I think it's a lack of faith because we sit back and we see somebody that wants us. They think they fine. We think they think we fine. We think they fine. You know, they're the dogs bow wow, the cats meow, and we just know this is the one. But it gets to the point to where, well, God says, well, bring him to me, bring her to me, and we go, no, just bless it, God. I don't need to bring them to you, because and you know why we don't bring them to God? You know why we don't pray and say, God, is this the one? Because we don't want to hear no. Amen. And so, but here's the lack of faith. We deal with things without acknowledging God because we don't really feel like God's got something for us. I mean, if God had a man or a woman for me, wouldn't I have it by now? Well, the fact that you continue to run in relationships that you've not acknowledged God in tells us that you are not ready for one now. Oh, God. Relationships and marriages for mature folk. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so the first thing that you've got to do is acknowledge God in all of your ways. That is in all steps of your journey. See that you acknowledge God as your guide. I want you to really catch this. God is my guide, and so I stay in the Word because the guide is caught in the realms of the Word. And if I stay in the Word, watch this, and in prayer, I can believe in and trust that God is going to be my guide. The problem is where God is guiding me, sometimes I don't want to go. Sometimes when God is guiding me, he tells me, we straight for a minute, then all of a sudden he stops and he says, now they can't go no further. Oh, Lord. But you are to continue on, but this is where they get off the train, baby. And so following God as the guide can be extremely hard for us that are not sold out to God because we don't trust God to let them off the train. What do you mean if I let them off the train? I'm going to be lonely. If I let them off the train, I ain't going to have no...
nobody to talk to. If I let them off the train, you know, they might not like me no more. They might talk crazy about me. But God is saying, when you get to a maturity in me, it don't make no never mind what your fears try to drum up on the inside of you. You do my word. Somebody say, God, guide me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I need you to understand that we likely had the experience of meeting a person on the street whom we knew well, but who was too preoccupied in thought or conversation and did not respond to our greeting. You ever spoke to somebody and they didn't speak to you back, and the first thing you did was catch a chip? Or we either seemingly passed on by that person, spoke again, or touched that person on the shoulder. No slight was intended. Our acknowledgement was just simply missed. Amen. We also have had experienced times with when we're preoccupied with a preoccupied family member did not hear what we said, though we spoke directly to him or her. How many of y'all got kids? You ever done that? You ever spoke directly to your kid and they still didn't hear you? And so I want you to understand, but they really didn't hear you. You told them to take out the trash, but they were so preoccupied with the game, they didn't hear you. It wasn't that they was being disrespectful or not, you know, paying attention to you or saying, you ain't my mama, you ain't my daddy. It wasn't any of that. They was just simply saying, I was on the game and I didn't hear you. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you've got teenagers like me, they be on the phone. And when they on the phone, they don't hear you. You can scream from the bottom of the steps all you want to. In fact, me and Miriam, we've got a cheer when we need Maya. Because, you know, we just be like, she'd be like, Maya, and you don't hear nothing. And Maya, and you don't hear nothing. And Maya, Scooter, Maya, Scooter, Maya, Scooter. Yes. It takes a team sometimes. So if this can happen, she's not disrespecting us, disobeying us. She's not doing any of that. She's preoccupied, like we've been preoccupied at times and didn't catch what some family member was saying. Amen? Okay, so if this can happen in our relationship with friends and family members, it surely can happen in God's relationship with us. By our preoccupation, we may miss his guidance. I just told somebody that was extremely special to me on the way over here. I said, never give yourself to someone or something, so much of yourself to someone or something that you have nothing left for you. I never want to be so preoccupied. And let me just take a sidebar. Tiana, we are praying for you and your family, and let everybody know that we love them and they are in our prayers. Amen? Amen. Ain't nothing like losing a grandmama. You understand what I'm saying to you? Ain't nothing like that. Ain't nothing. I don't think I've faced a greater pain. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so I need you to understand that you can't give so much of yourself to something or someone that you got nothing left for you or for God. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you were just totally depleted? You just didn't have nothing else left, and the churchy folk will say stuff like, you just need to pray. Did you hear me? I don't even have a prayer left in my spirit. Anybody been through that before? And everybody won't be all churchy. Let me tell you something. Sometimes I don't call just to hear a verse. You understand what I'm saying to you? Sometimes I need you just to let me cry. I believe the sweet leading of the Holy Spirit will tell you, this ain't the time for that. They just need to be patted on the back right now. They just need to be patted on the back. Right? They're not going to remember that scripture. You understand what I'm saying to you? And if they say, you know what, you're right, they lying. They just want you to go on and leave thinking you done something. You got to know the climate when somebody is going through something and God is not at all disrespected. No, he ain't disrespected in that. He ain't disrespected in that. Paul said, when I'm in Rome, he said, I did all things that I might win some to Christ. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so I've had to learn as a pastor, everything, you know, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not going to talk scripture to you and you done lost the most important person. I'm not talking about that right now. I just want to let you talk. Lord, have mercy. So if we have God's guidance, we must pay attention to him with the sensitivity of a faith that is alive and expectant. Not just just saying you have faith. Your faith should expect. Oh, God. That's quiet. Your faith should expect. You can't have faith waiting for the loss. How many times have you prayed about a certain situation, but truth being told, you didn't really think that thing was going to come to pass? You just wanted to make sure you crossed all the boxes. You checked all the boxes, but you didn't really have a win spirit in you. You just knew that everybody said, you just need to pray. No, baby, your faith has to have an expectation, because faith without works is dead. Your faith has to have an expectation. Your faith should have an expectation, because you have been in trying times before and God has never let you down. We are to acknowledge him in all of our ways, in the days and the nights, at work and play, in rest or worship, in relationships, or when we're single or alone. We have to acknowledge him. And this is the problem with the 21st century westernized church. This is the problem with, trusting him, not so much as trusting him, acknowledging him, because we usually don't acknowledge God until we're in trouble. We usually don't acknowledge God until it's, Pastor Shaniqua said something that was powerful one day during a praise team practice. And I said, why can't, and at this time, I'm going to go ahead and say that we had a whole lot of worldly people on our praise team. And I said, I went up to the booth and she was fixing the sound. And I said, why can't they get that? And she said, they can't do in church what they don't do at home. So if you don't worship God at home, it feels kind of funny trying to worship God in church. Amen. If you don't pray at home, you know, it could only be 3-minute prayer, but it seemed like they want to pray for everybody. They want to pray for everything. Baby, chill out. It's just been 3 minutes. It's the fact that you don't pray at home. So now it's hard to come into the building and pray. Lord, y'all don't hear me. You have to acknowledge God in the good times, in the bad times, in the high times, in the low times, in the it don't make no difference times. You have got to acknowledge God. And when hell get crazy on your life, you are trained to acknowledge God. Not break down, not slide out, not run away, not give up the faith. You know I've got to acknowledge God.
I was in jail fighting for my life, and we had a kid named Sticks, and we were all new Christians, and Sticks, you know, we knew that he might not never come home for what he done, and he had a surprise visit from his lawyer, and he came back, and he was gone for about an hour and a half, and when he came back, I said, hey, Sticks, what's up with your lawyer? He said, I don't know how God's going to process what he told me. In other words, it don't really matter what my lawyer said. I'm just concerned with how God processes what my lawyer said. I'm just concerned that God is in alignment, or that my lawyer is in alignment with what God says, because my lawyer can fail me. He's just a man. You understand what I'm saying to you? My lawyer can fail me. He's just a man. But when I have gained favor on this side of glory, unexplainable things begin to happen. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so you have to make it a point to he. And so what Sticks was doing, he said, before I get excited about what the lawyer's saying, I need to acknowledge God in what he said. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The next thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to trust him. This brings us to the second condition of God's guidance. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We trust him in the hours of special need, when there is no one else to trust.
Or are we trust him when we are called upon to do some unique assignment with which we feel insecure? But how about our trust level when we are unaware of needs or when the ordinary experiences of life are in process? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm talking about, do you trust him on your way to the store? Do you trust him, you know, just hanging out? Are you trusting God then? I done got to the point in my life, my wife has, she's trained me now that when we get to the Walmart and there's a place, a parking space by the door, and the Walmart is packed out, but there's a space by the door, she'd be like, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. And I'd be like, yeah, but get in it for somebody else, take it. So now, even while I'm by myself, if I pull into a spot and it's crowded, but I find a spot that's right next to the door, I immediately begin to say, thank you, Jesus. See, if I don't know how to say thank you, Jesus, for the parking spot that's close to the door, I won't find it important to thank God for the... Lord, have mercy. Trusting God, like loving him, must be total in degree. We must desire to please him totally in the ordinary experiences of every day. Think of two Christians, right? Two self-professing Christians, and both of them affirm their faith in Jesus Christ, and one is stable and copes with changes so smoothly that to the casual observer, it seems easy. The other Christian is insecure. Any threatened difficulty creates a panic. If the currents of trouble are navigated at all, it is by the smallest margin, you know, they lose their mind. The one with the unwavering faith has sought and found God's guidance. But the other one is double-minded, is a double-minded person who is unstable in all his ways because he does not acknowledge God in all his ways. See, it's important to acknowledge God because it's when you begin to acknowledge God, you can begin to trust God. You will never be able to trust who you don't acknowledge. Oh, God. Let me take it deeper. You will never be able to trust who you don't know. Acknowledgement, I'm back on that point again. Acknowledgement, watch this, brings you closer to the Creator, amen? And it's in the acknowledgement that we begin to, it's the building blocks, it's the beginning building blocks of worship. It's the beginning building blocks of relationship. You understand what I'm saying to you? And now, since I have acknowledged you in every situation of my life, and you have led me, you have directed my paths in every situation of my life, and every time that I follow the unction of the Holy Ghost, I have never come up messed up. I've always walked in truth. Now there is a relationship that's been built between the both of us. It's vertical, that whatever you say, I don't have a problem doing. Why? Because you have never let me down. If there's anybody in the building that can admit that God has never let you down, I dare you give him a hand clap of praise. Thirdly, don't depend on yourself. Don't depend on yourself. In prison, we used to have a saying, my best thinking got me here. Mm-hmm. Don't depend on yourself. The first two conditions may be labeled positive conditions. However, there is a third that can be labeled a negative condition. Lean not to thine own understanding. The Revised Standard Version says, do not rely on your own insight. But I like what the Living Bible says. The Living Bible says, don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Lord, have mercy. Do you understand all of the potential danger that you can walk yourself into trying to walk a path that God has not directed or a path that you have not acknowledged him for? Has anybody ever witnessed crazy times three? And you always will, anytime that you walk in a way that does not have the supervision and the green light from the Holy Ghost. Lord, have mercy. So the Living Bible says, don't trust yourself. This condition suggests the absolute inadequacy of our life without God's guidance. We find ourselves to be inadequate when we don't have his, when we don't have his guidance. We really can't make it on our journey without him. And some people pay an unnecessarily high price to learn that self-management usually ends to self-defeat. A faith, a family of faith decided not to trust God one day and leaned on their own understanding. And what I'm talking about, who I'm talking about, is that God had promised to Abraham and Sarah a child, but no child was born. After years of waiting, Sarah, thinking that she was helping God out of his dilemma, because evidently if God said it and didn't do it, maybe he can't do it. So Sarah's thinking she's going to help him out of his dilemma of not being able to provide a child. She utilized the surrogate custom of the time, which was she gave her servant Hagar to Abraham. And she told him, go and make a child with Hagar, and when she has the baby, you'll give him to me. You'll give the baby to me. We just going to take one of the things. God's got so much on his plate. We'll just take one of the things out for him, and he ain't got to worry about it. I'm not mad at God. God got to be happy with us, and everything's all right. from that union, I need you to catch this, Ishmael was born. In due time, the child of promise, who was Isaac, he was born to Sarah and Abraham. Eventually, hostility and jealousy between the two women and the two boys came to such a crisis that Hagar and Ishmael were sent away. The mother and the son were sent away. Now, I always pause when reading this story because it's amazing to me how Sarah gets upset. Because if you read the text, it talks about how she was actually jealous of Hagar. Now, you need to understand something, baby. Hagar is far younger than Sarah. Mm-hmm. And not only is she younger, she was a certain type of fine, you know. And so now you done unleashed, and this is why you can't, let me tell you something. Women, let me tell you something. If you got a boyfriend, a boo, or a husband, I want to tell you something. Never talk him into doing something wrong, because he won't just do that wrong. He will do all the wrong that comes with him. You understand what I'm saying to you? One day, somebody talked real crazy to me in the car. They passed by me, and we was at a stoplight. And I don't know, something ill was happening with Miriam, and she says to me, you going to let him get away with that? I mean, you're supposed to be supreme. And I looked over at her and I said, I can go deal with that. I can. But after I deal with that, that's like blood in the water. That's like a shark tasting blood. After I get done with him, Supreme is fully functional now. So that means I'm going to drop you off. I'm going to go smoke some blunts. I'm going to drink a little liquor, and I'm probably going to holler at your friend. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you'll see me in a couple of days. You don't get a little bit of preem without getting all of preem. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so this is why you can't, this is why you, ladies, let me tell you something. You are, and what you think about us means everything. So be careful never to put your man in a situation or a position to where he's got to prove who he is. Because the problem with letting the old man come out for a little while is the old man, and you know what, while I'm on this, I got a few other things I need to. Huh? You got to be careful about that. You got to be careful. Can I just go ahead and say this? Wives, wisdom, your wisdom is supposed to, you know, safeguard your man. Your wisdom is supposed to position your man in a position to win. Your wisdom should never push him feet back. You understand what I'm saying to you? Lord, have mercy. And that's why you're the helpmate. Thank you. That's why you're the helpmeet, the helpmate. Because not because you need to go. No, because that when he's about to lose his mind, you are the sane sounding board in his life. Lord, have mercy. So now, you know, Sarah got a problem with Hagar because, you know, I'm and it ain't in the Bible. I'm just seeing it with my Holy Ghost filled mind. You done had the baby. Why you keep going over? She's pregnant. Why you keep going over? Minister Wilma, she done had the baby. Why you still going over? I just need to go check on them, just see if the baby got milk, see if the baby got milk. You know, no, you have turned your husband over to somebody, and now he kind of likes where he's been going. And Sarah done lost her mind. I know what I said, but I didn't say you keep going over. And I want you to catch this. I want you to see where this goes. Eventually, the hostility and the jealousy between the two women and the two boys came to such a crisis that Hagar and Ishmael were sent away. This personal hostility escalated into a national hatred and a religious persecution between Arabs and Jews and Muslims and Christians. We only defeat ourselves and God's purpose when we lean on our own understanding. How do you feel about it? However the Bible says. If you got a scripture for it, give it to them. That's how I feel about it. If you don't have a scripture for it, whatever the Bible says. That's what defines me. In all of my ways, I acknowledge him. I trust him in all of my ways. Listen, in conclusion, God wants to give us his guidance. He knows our need for it. He knows our failure without it. But he likewise knows our capacity to follow his direction. Lord, have mercy. He has a unique plan for each of us. And he waits for us to pay attention to him, to trust him with the whole heart, and to reject our own abilities to guide ourselves. When and only when we do that, he will guide us. We have to be careful not to want to fix it ourselves, because we can. I might not be in God, but I can get it paid. You understand what I'm saying to you? I might not be in God, but I can get straight. And I just want you to know that if you're living this Christian life, and it's hard for you, and it seems like it's not taking you where you should be, then we know that God is perfect. He's perfect in all his ways. So the question becomes, God, what am I doing wrong? Where am I not acknowledging you? Where am I not keeping your word? Where am I not trusting you? Where are you not my everything? I want you to understand this, beloved, and I'm done. You can play the soft music. I'm out of here. Listen. This is what you got to understand, and I've been stressing this for months now, and I'm going to continue to stress it. It don't work our way. If it could work our way, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. He wouldn't have had to die if we could just lean on our own understanding. Listen, I want you to know, there is power in discipleship. There is power in giving up your mind, your thoughts on things, and taking on the mind of Christ, which was also in him. It's so much easier when I just decide, God, I'm going to trust you. Because I don't have to figure anything out. As a Christian, I don't have to figure my only thing that I got to sit back and listen to who you are to know if you're friend or foe. It's breaking my heart. Been breaking my heart for years. Because so many people want with everything in them to be with God, in God, the way that they want it. But just acknowledging him is a hard thing. Because we didn't see that growing. A lot of us didn't see that growing up. I grew up in a Christian home, but as I began to read the Bible for myself, I began to see things that was possibly not right. I grew up in a Christian atmosphere, but now that I read the Word of God, I sit back and I say, that wasn't the Word. And I'm not knocking my people at all. They were doing what they were taught to do. But because as every believer has this responsibility, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as I begin to read that Bible for myself, I begin to see my Christian friends. Well, they wasn't so Christian. But if all you've seen is to do Christianity your way, if all you've seen is this self-absorbed Christianity that allows you to flow in you more than in God, then we got a problem. Then we have a problem. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He promises to direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. We have anybody in the building today that says, I want to give my life to Jesus, or that says, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus, we offer you the invitation to come on down. We offer you that sweet, sweet invitation. There is nothing like being on the Lord's side. It's nothing like being part of heaven.